great to be here this evening and have the opportunity to spend a little bit of time talking with you about some things from God's Word. The lesson's not going to quite be what it was supposed to be because I see my help is not here tonight. Connor's not here, and he was designated at a certain point in this lesson to come forth, so his dad will have to do the job for him. Really very much appreciate the song service that Randy led and the prayer of Jeremy. And Andrew just amazes me with his taking to God's Word in such a short time and reading the Scripture. Let me just say a moment or two about David McClister, who will be with us before we know it. David is a true, true scholar and someone that's very knowledgeable about Scriptures. And he's put together, I think, an extremely fine series of lessons for us, and I hope that we'll take time ourselves to be here at every opportunity we can, and also to bring people from the community to join with us. Well, it's time to get started, and if Andrew and Matthew would turn the lights out, what I want you to do is just close your eyes and think for just a moment about what it is that you see when you go outside on a beautiful, clear night. Just think about all of that that's up in the heavens that we can share and think about. You can turn the lights back on now if you would. Thank you. Well, what we're going to talk about this evening is just exactly that, which I hope that you were thinking about. That is the planets and the stars. Who, when, and why are some questions that we want to ask ourselves. Who, when, and why? Well, when you go out and you look at the sky on a clear night, we're told that there's a possibility of seeing as many as 3,000 stars without a telescope, and a number of planets as well. And included in that are Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and sometimes, if we're lucky, Uranus, and the one that we all never miss, and that's the moon. There are literally billions of galaxies out there with billions and billions of stars. So we want to ask ourselves again those questions. But who created all of this? When was it created? And why was it created? And we typically think about the first two questions most often. Who and when? But rarely do we think about the question of why. But as we begin to look at God's Word, we find that if we look back in the book of Genesis, we can find the answers to these questions. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, we read the following: "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." In Genesis 1, 14 through 19, we read, "Then God said, let there be light in the expansion of the heavens to separate the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the expansion of the heavens to give light on earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. And God placed them in the expansion of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from darkness. And God said that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." Genesis 1, verse 19. Who created all of this? We're told that God did it in Exodus 20 and verse 11. God merely breathed and spoke it into existence. When did he do it? "And there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." Genesis 1, verse 19. But why did God create the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets on the fourth day? Have you ever thought about that? Why did he do this? God created it, and we know when, the fourth day. But we need to see if we can delve into God's Word and discover just exactly why he did what he did on this fourth day. In Genesis 1, verses 14 and 18, we begin to get an idea as to why he did what he did. Then God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of heaven to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from darkness." And God saw that it was good. The sun coming up over the Sea of Galilee, the sun going down someplace in North America, and the sun coming up again in the Serengeti in Tanzania. One of the reasons that God did this was to give us this cycle of night and day. This cycle so that we could rest at night and we could work in the day. So that our crops could grow when the sun was up. God gave us these stars and the sun and the moon. And one of their purposes was to separate night from day. And in Genesis 1, 14 and 18, he tells us, also gave it to us for the seasons. Winter, and we don't have this one, spring. But if you go down south, and if you'll watch the Masters Tournament, you can see all of the azaleas blooming and a beautiful spring that they have in the south, and then summer, and the beautiful fall that we have here. So he gave it to us so we can have the seasons. Winter, with the cold and the snow and the beauty of winter. That wonderful time of spring when the flowers come forth and life begins to find itself again. And the summer. And then the time of fall when the leaves change colors. And you get these beautiful, gorgeous reds and yellows and browns and oranges that we see in New England particularly. He also gave it to us for days and for years. For days and for years. Going back to this passage tomb that's in Ireland, it was built sometime around 3200 B.C., somewhere between the 19th and the 23rd of December, in the solstice of wintertime, the light goes directly in through here, and it's the only time of the year that it's lit up in the center. People understood that by using the sun, you could tell the time. This is about 3200 B.C. And then we go to Stonehenge in England, about 2800 B.C. Again, this was built as a way to tell time and the seasons. And we move a little bit closer to us, the Mayan pyramids, in about 1100 B.C. or 250 B.C., I'm sorry. And they built these pyramids, again, as temples, but also built around the astrology and astronomy that they understood at that time. And then we can go to Cambodia and Angkor Wat and find that they did the same thing much later, around 1100 A.D. So not only did God put the stars in heaven and the planets and the sun and the moon so that we could have the seasons of winter, in spring and summer and fall, but he also did it so that we could tell time. The earth rotates in a 24-hour cycle. The earth goes around the sun in a 365 plus some odd period of time, days and years, and God gave this to us. That's another reason. We also find that it's for light and to give light on the earth. And if we look at the earth from a distance and the sun is just right, we can see that light that comes to the earth. Half of the earth has light and half of the earth has darkness. And as the earth rotates on its axis, it changes. And God gave us that. And that's one of the reasons that he did this. The stars say that navigational aids, and this is where Connor was to come in. What's that, Eric?
Ship.
And that's what Connor was supposed to say, ship. We practiced that all afternoon, and he had it down perfect. But that's the ship that Connor saw, and he said to me, ship. And we were going to use him. But anyway, people use these as navigational aids back for many, many years. The constellations are talked about in Scripture. In Job 9:9, who made the bear and Orion and the Pallades and the chambers of the south? Job, could you do this? When he was challenging God, God said to Job, can you do these things? Can you put these stars up in the heaven? And Job's answer was, no, cannot do it. And then in Job 38:31, can you bind the chains of the Pallades or loose the cords of Orion? And again, Job's answer was, no, Lord, I cannot do that. And then we find in Amos 5 and verse 8, he who made the Pallades and Orions and changed deep darkness into morning, who also darkened day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. The Lord God put these things there for us to use as navigational aids. This is Orion and the Pallades and the Southern Cross. If you've ever been in the Southern Hemisphere, this is one of the things that they'll point out to you. We look for it one beautiful, clear night when we're in the Galapagos Islands. And you can actually see this Southern Cross. It stays permanent in the sky where it is. And the sailor can navigate by that. And there it is without the markings. And if you look closely and you've got a bit of imagination, you can see it coming down through here. And that pointed these sailors in the direction that they wanted to go into. Or the North Star in the Northern Hemisphere. And if you look at the Big Dipper, and you come down to the bottom of the Big Dipper, there's the North Star. Polaris over here, the Big Dipper, and there's the North Star down right here. It stays right there, I'm sorry. Yeah, there it is. And you stay at that point, and that just stays stationary in the sky, and again, the sailor can navigate by it. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expansion is deciding the work of his hands. Psalms 19 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:41, there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For the stars differ from star to star in their glory. Who, when, and why? So we now know who created the sun, the moon, the planets, and the stars, God. And we know when, on the fourth day of his creative activity. And now we know why. He created it to serve men, but more importantly, I think, to cause us to want to serve him. To cause us to want to serve him. The next time you go outside and you look up into the heavens, remember to thank God for creating all of this for you and for me and for all of creation. This really has not been a lesson that was designed to share the gospel with anyone in a sense, but it is also sharing the creative power of God for those of us that are here this evening to realize that God did create the universe, everything in the universe, and that includes us. Each of us individually was created in his image. We were created in his likeness, and yet we have a need for him, because the flesh is weak and we stumble and we fall. But God has given us an avenue to overcome those sins. He realized when he created man, in his image and woman in his image, that it was good. And he told them, you can have everything in this garden with the exception of one thing. And man was tempted. And he partook of that one thing that was denied to him. And as a result, the first Adam was expelled from the garden, separated from the tree of life, with no hope of overcoming the sin and the temptation. But throughout the course of history, God had a plan. First, with the nation of Israel, who he brought out of captivity and carried into the land of milk and honey, and yet they did the same thing that first Adam did. They turned against him over and over and over again. And yet he forgave them all along the way. And then he culminated his plan when he sent his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. And if we'll just accept that very, very simple thing, that we're sinners, that we cannot do it by ourselves, but that we need the Creator of all, the Sustainer of all, the One who gives life to all. We need Him. And what He's done for us is to give us Jesus the Christ, who died for our sins. If there should be someone here this evening that is in need of that regenerative blood of Jesus, or maybe you're a Christian who's fallen by the wayside, would you come now as we sing the song that's been selected, and let us encourage you in whatever way that we can.